Hi, Robert.
Hey, Sky. How you doing?
I've been great. We have Robert Plant, who is getting ready to come and perform at the Greek Theater on Tuesday night with us. Robert, Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar, your most recent album, that album began with a real road trip. It was a sojourn for you. I imagine that the new songs and the set overall, as you've been on the road with them, are finding an identity and a new life of their own. Would that be the case?
Sure, yeah. I mean, songs that last 3 minutes are okay, but you can't actually personalize them beyond where they stand at the time you make the record. So, the songs are opening up. And, the energy level is so brilliant right now that there's lots of imagination, great creativity, and great ideas coming into the thing, which is really good.
You're a person who certainly, when one would ask about the proverbial life on the road as a musician, few have had the experience that you have. At this point in life, is it a part of a natural rhythm of your life, or will it never become that in terms of touring? How do you approach a tour, and what is your general feeling about the life on the road?
Well, my whole life is a life on the road. Mm. So I see it whether I'm working or not. I'm kind of now in transit permanently, and I love it. It's a great condition. My children have grown. There's no need to do the school run. Mm. And I've been on the move for a long time. So to get a lot of the kind of feeling and mood into my songs and into my life, was as it was back in the 70s too, where it's just about kind of turning the corner and you know, colliding into some unforeseen, amazing stimulus. It's all the same thing. Singing, playing, moving, writing stuff in the back of a book, smiling a lot, meeting great people. Whether I'm doing a gig or not, I'm kind of doing that anyway.
You have, and as you speak, you know, I do reflect on the fact that you have always had this cosmopolitan sense of being someone who would travel and live in places near and far. And I guess a lot of the time, I'm going to make an assumption that it was part of your natural yearning to learn about things you didn't know yet. Was that part of the drive that kept you going from land to land?
We live on a tiny island back there in Europe. We're British, and the British now speak, I think, in London, 86 different languages or whatever. It's remarkable. So there's a little bit of somebody that you don't really know that you meet somewhere that encourages you to think, I wonder what that's like. What's that place like? I just got out of a cab here in Vegas, and an Armenian guy was driving the cab. And he said when he was in fourth grade, they had to gather all their Russian rubles, because they're Armenian, to buy a Led Zeppelin album. And so Armenia, do you know anything about Armenia? It's one of the most closed countries on the planet now, you know, outside of North Korea. And
our producer that's helping me today actually is Armenian, so he's smiling and giving you a thumbs up.
How wonderful. And what great soul so many countries and peoples possess who are not caught up in the middle of the great the great chaos that continues to swirl. So when I was a kid, I was intrigued. I got mixed up with a lot of Asian Indian culture. I married a girl from India. I was on the move, on the travels. And when Zeppelin played out in Japan, we take a lot of time coming back slowly through countries which have transformed since then into other totally different global personalities to what they were at the time. So when I wrote the lyrics to Kashmir, for example, in 73 or whatever it was, 74, I was seeing that as a kind of escape route for if I ever really needed the way through to clarity of mind and amazing sort of a huge thunderbolts, lightning strikes of inspiration. And so therefore, I never went there because I never got to the point where I thought I needed to go and do that. But all the time, so many of my lyrics and the way that I've tried to sing at times and the people that I've worked with, and taking Jimmy into that world with the Egyptian orchestra in the mid-90s with Hossam Ramzi and all those guys who were good friends of mine way back then. It was just really exciting stuff. So now, and I know that really Led Zeppelin was a lot to do with being, you know, a whole bunch of music and musical ideas that were in transit constantly. And I think that's really, that gives me great power and great sort of feedback from a smaller situation than from way back in those days. But I get so much more out of it because I can twist it and turn it. And I can twist and turn my catalog depending upon how I feel and what zone of music I go into. And right that, now, it just happens to be pretty full-on sort of rock mixed with this kind of huge clatter of percussion. So it's very, very exciting. But it could mix, you know, in 10 years' time, it could be quite languid and, you know, I could be open for Willie Nelson. Because there is somebody there, I know. Somebody there, I know it's so. There is somebody there, I know. There is somebody there, I know it's so. Now high up on the mountain, where green has turned to golden, shine on so. You mentioned the fact that the show now has got that full rock power. I have to imagine for a man who is as celebrated, and look, you're celebrated in every probably country in the universe, but you know you've got an incredible history in Los Angeles. I imagine that when you stand on stage at the Greek and look out at those hills and you look out over the sky that's over Los Angeles, there's got to be feelings and memories that come up that are inescapable with your life in Los Angeles as you know, a performer. Sure, definitely. I mean, who was to know when me and Bonzo got off the plane for the first time in L.A. that we were going to be ending up no longer sharing the same room, you know, like a couple of soccer players in a small division team in England where you have a rooming buddy. But me and Bonzo, we'd never been anywhere before, and we got off the plane and it was like everything was so beautiful and sunny and big and loving and warm and Californian and no. And so, yeah, and from there on, look at the journey. It's been an amazing, fantastic route with a lot of friends gone, a lot of friends gone, and a lot of water under the bridge. So I decide to discover more and more. I end up in the Morongo Basin up in, you know, 29 Palms, Joshua Tree across, beautiful places, Amboy, you know, up to Ojai. And just, I've got a lot of friends that, some of them don't come from 1969, some of them do.
One that did, and I would be remiss to not mention, because I'm sure you're saddened by the news of the loss of Dennis Sheehan, who recently passed earlier in the week. Dennis meant a lot to you. It's tough when you get news like that, isn't it? Because the man literally seemed to me, I worked with the U2 for a long time on the road, and the man seemed to be as close to an efficient machine as I ever saw in a human being.
He was very important to me because his gig was to look, sort of help me around my professional life in the kind of end game of Zep, really. And because he was the kind of guy he was very humorous, very subtle, and at the same time, he took no prisoners. If he put something as a piece of doom, he would make it evident that that was what he thought and that's what it was. And ironically, 5 days ago, Nick, who runs my career for me, contacted him because I was trying to get a hold of him, calling him his Irish number. And I knew he was with U2, and they were playing the Forum for like a year. So he emailed back to Nicola and said, tell Robert to call me on my Irish number in the morning. And I woke up and put on my phone, and I had a message from Bono saying that he'd gone. It was awful.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
And I haven't actually. I see him when I play in Dublin sometimes. I see him wherever he is. We've got some fond memories of the absurdities of the 70s, and we won't be able to share them now.
But they will live on in your heart and mind.
Well, he certainly will. Some of it I can't remember anymore. I think I just made it up.
Well, the mind has a funny way of nostalgia. It can be a tricky beast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tread lightly with nostalgia. There's more to it than meets the eye.
One thing we certainly want to celebrate is your return to Los Angeles. There's nothing but a positive joy and power around that. And we want to encourage all our fans to come out and join you Tuesday night at the Greek. And I can't wait till the next time you and I have an opportunity to speak, because I am sure, Robert, at that point in time, there will be somehow you will have uncovered a new idea, a new sound, a new path that you are on, and I'll say the man continues to explore. So I guess while we have you in Los Angeles, that's about as rooted as we will know when Tuesday night you perform at the Greek. And until then, very many happy and safe sojourns to you, Robert.
Well, the same to you, Sky, and to all your listeners. And what kind of gig could I have? I was training to be an accountant. Can you imagine? No wonder I ran away from mommy and daddy, straight into the arms of rock and roll. But yeah, come along and say hello. It's a fantastic, very, very exciting night. So I look forward to seeing you there.
You got it, my friend. We'll see you on Tuesday night. And of course, all our fans, we invite you to come out. It's the one, the only, Robert Plant. Thanks for checking in today, Robert.
Thank you, Scott. Nice to hear your voice again. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.